It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's an NRL news update. Subscribe to SEN League on YouTube and the SEN podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
And that's where you can catch the chat with Finucane, Dale Finucane, who came straight on the show. Well done to you, Michelle, for getting the great man Dale Finucane quite honest about his assessment. Seems quite content with his decision to retire. In fact, he basically said he didn't have a decision to make, didn't he?
Yeah, it was made for him. And his wife would have liked to have seen him go out on his terms. But unfortunately, it is the way it is. And what a wonderful career anyway.
Good to see he got the 250 milestone. 251 games he retires on, as I said. You can find that chat along with the Dean Young interview, the Dragons legend, on YouTube. Back to the Sharks we go. Now, we haven't got to this story just yet. People asking about on the text line, but according to Michael Chamis, or reported by Michael Chamis in the Sydney Morning Herald. Now, Cronulla Sharks 5'8", Braden Trindle, has been charged with mid-range drink driving while holding a suspended licence and is awaiting further test results on an alleged potential positive cocaine reading. Now, for those wondering what mid-range is in New South Wales, it's 0.08 to 0.15. Somewhere in that reading is what's been alleged. Trindle was tested on Monday morning, just hours after his team's victory over the North Queensland Cowboys at PointsBet Stadium on Sunday evening, and was charged with drink driving under the influence of alcohol. He's currently prohibited from driving, having recently had his licence suspended for other offences. It's also alleged the roadside drug test also showed cocaine was in his system. However, Trindle is awaiting the results from an oral fluid test for a more accurate result. The Sharks have notified the NRL Integrity Unit. It's been alleged that Trindle blew a mid-range alcohol reading, and the Herald has contacted the Sharks, NRL and police for comment. So that story is building. Daniel Atkinson is the man who will take his jumper. So he wears the number 6. Cade Dykes is in the extended squad. But very, very sad story coming through for this young kid who's never played better football. He only on the weekend.
Can I just say, you wonder what goes through their minds. I mean, as you say, he's been playing unbelievable football, could have been in conversations with Origin. Craig Fitzgibbon and what he's done there. I mean, now he's obviously going to have to rework the spine that has been working. Clearly, they're leading the comp. Disappointed for him, for the team. Just very selfish, very selfish. If you want to go out and do this sort of stuff in the off-season, I don't mean drink drive, but whatever else you do, whatever. But smack bang in the middle of the season, it's your responsibility to be part of this team. So this is costly to the entire team.
Yeah, I honestly believe, and people will say, oh, the welfare. The NRL do so much for these players, like so much, way more than anyone of the same age at any other vocation, in my opinion. They do so much for them in the welfare space. But for some reason, Michelle, like a lot of rugby league people, we come from very humble, in many times scrapping backgrounds, you know. So we're used to doing it tough.
Yep.
Dysfunctional, we're used to doing it tough and it doesn't concern us. So you see a lot of self-sabotaging going on.
Maybe
where
that's
life's
what we're
going good and this inbuilt thermostat goes, oh no, things are going too good here. Let's self-sabotage. And that's just, it appears as though this is another one of those cases.
Can I just be the one to say it? Perhaps maybe the welfare stuff might be a lot of box ticking and not really getting to the nitty gritty of, you know, the hard stuff, the background stuff.
Yeah, but that's on the players.
This is on the players. Like, yeah. I'm not saying, I don't see this as a welfare issue. I see this as just a, I don't know, is it a bit of a spoilt act? A bit of a, you know, hey, we won, we're good times, get out and do what we want to do.
And as a result, he shouldn't have
been driving anyway if your licence
was suspended. Well, according to the Dally M's, he was the second best player on the field on the weekend. So Will Kennedy got the Paul Green medal.
Yep.
Trindle got the second amount, 3 points in the Dally M's. So That is unfortunate for the Sharkies, particularly on a day when, you know, the big celebration of the career of Dale Finucane as well. Mm. So there you go. Plenty happening in the Sharky land at the moment. The Raiders agree terms with young halfback, as you mentioned earlier, Michelle, David Polkinghorne from the Canberra Times. Just days after the Canberra Raiders suffered a big halfback blow, they've taken a positive step towards landing their potential future number seven, Ethan Sanders, who's going to debut for the Parramatta Eels against Manly. That's a big ask, isn't it, at Four Pines?
Oh, yes, it is. But I guess it's the long-term fix, having some sort of future replacement for Jamal Fogarty. But there's a lot to go between now and then with the Raiders in the halves.
They once had the Mac
Fingers
attack.
Crossed.
McFlynn,
did too, yeah.
McFadden and McClendon. They'll have the Ethans, potentially. Ethan Sanders and Ethan Strange.
So young.
Yeah, yeah, so there you go. And I'll tell you what, if Ricky Stewart's grabbing him, he knows all about halfback play. So he might be a good one. We'll find out at Four Pines Park on the weekend. Now, this comes through. So deeper issue revealed at Parramatta as pressure mounts on Brad Arthur. Brad Arthur is facing an uncertain future at the Parramatta Eels. But according to Phil Gould, there could be a much deeper issue facing the club. In the wake of Parramatta's worst performance in recent memory on Friday night, pressure is mounting on the coach, who has been in charge for over a decade. And he's been coaching there for over a decade.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Wow.
He has, yeah.
Yet to deliver an NRL premiership to the long-suffering fan base. That's been reported. Now, 2014, yeah, that's when he took over to help rebuild the club. Of course, got into the grand final in 2022 after Ricky Stewart.
Yeah, well, I was there. I worked then. I worked that year with Ricky Stewart in 2014. But look, he's been criticised, Brad Arthur, for falling into a kind of comfort zone. I don't agree. I think out of all the NRL coaches, Brad Arthur is least comfortable. He's always, to me, it seems like he's second guessing himself. He's unsure. Yeah, never settled, never in a comfort zone. But look, I tend to agree with Phil Gould that it's more than just, you know, that he's the issue. I just think there's a bit of a cultural issue at the club. Look, for the weekend, well, today, let's say for today, they've had the senior players come out and talk. No Mitchell Moses whatsoever.
Yep.
He didn't speak as part of the leadership group because he's injured. I'm sorry. It's a club. It's a team. He's still very much part of the team. Mitchell Moses should have been there front and centre.
So was the reason for this to happen, was this because of the shocking showing
this
on the weekend?
This is the aftermath of the weekend.
Okay, so they've
Brad
pushed
Arthur.
Them all out?
This is Brad Arthur. Well, look, let's take it back. I was saying to you this off air. I started to get a bit of a, where's... I watch a lot of coaches, and obviously when they're under pressure, where they're going to go with things in press conferences. Now, when the Raiders were beaten by... when the Eels were beaten by Parramatta, what was 41-8 or whatever, Brad touched on it in the press conference that I want players that are committed. I want players that are going to want to be here. They want to play the full 80 minutes. So it was all softly, but he was hinting at, you know, well, I've got to give you some reason for this scoreline. Then obviously they beat the Cowboys and it was all happy again. But then this week it was like, booyah, right? It's all back on you. I'm putting it on all of you players. I want players that are going to put in, that are going to turn up. We're part-timers. He owned it as well.
Yep.
That, you know, he took some of the responsibility. But what else is a coach, you know, able to do? Like, he's left in a really difficult situation. But then fast forward to today and you've got the leadership group standing up and you've got Regan Campbell-Gillard. And this is no personal attack on any player, any one player, because I'm not sure what they're supposed to say. But popping up the senior group and... this is alarming. This is red flags. Regan Campbell-Gillard said, if you watch the second half, it looked like we didn't know each other. We didn't train together. It's not panic stations, but it's a bit of a wake-up call for the whole team. It's round 8. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You are professional footballers. You train together. You play together. You should know each other. I don't understand what that sort of a response is. I just think when you go, look, I've obviously been around to a lot of clubs. And I just feel that there's not that, you know, I'll put it out there. Maybe there's that kind of a bit of feeling too that Jason Demetrio criticism where maybe there's a couple of players that, you know, get away with a little bit. Maybe that's the same that happens with Brad Arthur. Maybe it's that fine line of trying to keep all the big players happy and the group together. And maybe he hasn't had the harsh conversations with players that he probably really needs to.
But then you got the good stories like Bryce Cartwright, who's never played better.
Unbelievable.
Under him. So it's interesting. It's really interesting to see how this plays out. Now, last week, Michelle, when you think about last week in Darwin, Is it a forgive run for Parramatta with the stifling conditions? But they led 10 minutes into the second half, 10-4. Mm-hmm. So hypothetically, Michelle, hypothetically, if the score was 40-4 with half an hour remaining, they still would have lost. They got to 44 points. It was just one of the great collapsos, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then go back 2 weeks prior. Was it 41-8? I haven't got it here in front of me.
Was that the Cowboys?
That was the Raiders.
Oh, the Raiders, sorry. Yeah.
They're big score lines.
That's right.
It's not the Parramatta that we all are supposed to know. That's a decent playing roster.
Can I just say one thing, which at the time
we're
heaping
thought, on Des Hasler.
Yeah.
That's a young squad up there. I know which squad I'd rather have.
At the time I felt this was very unusual. The dinner with Zach Lomax. Now, why is that a problem? Well, it's a problem because he's with St. George Illawarra at the moment, so it's a problem for them. It's just a bad look generally. But where it's a bad look, if you're a player in the current roster and you personally haven't had a private dinner with the coach, which I'm not saying that hasn't happened. Maybe he has had an individual dinner with every single player in his squad, but my best guess is that probably hasn't happened. So if that hasn't happened, individual, I mean, like the Zach Lomax situation. I'm not talking about having five or six around. I'm talking about individual.
Yep.
If that hasn't happened, would you not kind of feel like, I'm in your team?
Yeah.
And you're having dinner with someone who's not even in our bloody team.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I don't know whether that's nitpicking.
No, well, I mean, it happens. It happens in rugby league. But my point here today I wanted to say is that I don't think we can heap everything on Brad Arthur. I just think there's some other issues behind the scenes going on in that club, and I just don't think there's harmony. But that's just my take.
No, the only thing, defence is what wins competitions. In the grand final year,
defence is about attitude.
Well, they had the eighth best defence. Mm. So was it an outlier that they got through? I'm not blaming you either. It's a great squad they got, so it's not all on him. No way in the world. But
and you can see some of the players. You know, Junior Parler, he tries. Like, they put in. I don't know what the answer is.
One of those
That's
teams.
Why I'm not a first-grade coach.
Oh, you can have that.
Who would be a first-grade? Let's take a look at Brad Arthur from 2014 to now.
Yeah.
Look at Kenty
on the NRL 360. Johnny Cash.
What's doing there?
He's got the whole black outfit.
There was a line there, and I'm going to leave it.
Yeah, walk the line. Newcastle, Cowboys, Parramatta. These three teams. One will respond. I've just got a feeling one will. Who's it going to be? Who's the team? Is it the Cowboys versus Penrith? Is it the Knights versus the Dolphins up at Suncorp? Is it Parramatta, remarkably, at 4 points? Who's the team? Because they were awful displays. Who's the team who bounces back?
Having seen Manly play against the Titans, I don't think that they'll relent. I think that they'll get whipped at training this week despite winning.
Yep.
I think there was some really silly mistakes and they got themselves in some awful positions. So I'm definitely going to go with Newcastle.
Newcastle, okay. Yeah, I've got a feeling.
Ponga.
I've got a feeling too. I've got a feeling they're going to really push the Dolphins as well. Ezra Mann breaks his silence on the Spencer Lenu saga. Peter Bedell through the Daily Telegraph. He's the Spencer Lenu racism scandal with the Broncos pivot, insisting he has no regrets over his stance as he vowed to continue to stand up for my culture, inverted commas. The final game of Lenu's suspension will be in round 9, meaning the former Panther bookend will miss coming face-to-face with Mann in the Broncos Roosters blockbuster at Suncorp Stadium on Friday week. Did the NRL look at the draw ahead of this? Do you reckon, or is it just a complete coincidence?
I think it's just a complete coincidence.
Imagine if he came back for that game.
No.
Imagine if that was the case. I just stuck to what my beliefs are and how I was brought up as a strong cultural man, Mem said. If there's anything I'm proud of, it's my culture, and that's what I'm going to stick up for. It's what I stick up for. It's my identity, and that's the reason why I'm here. Ezra Mem last week, by the way, and he's out of the team this week, but geez, he was good.
He's always good, but can also just on the back end of that, Spencer Lenu, he's done some hard yards. He was genuinely, I mean, you look at that whole situation again, there was lots of outs for him. He didn't have to stick his hand up. There was no audio backing up what was allegedly said, what he did, what he didn't say. He's taken it hard. I've had a little bit to do with that after the aftermath, and it really hurt him too. Took him to a pretty dark place. So I'm glad we've had it out, and I'm glad that that Ezra Mamm's thought it was, you know, sticking up for his culture and doing what he was doing. But I still maintain, obviously having known Spencer Lenu for a lot of years since he was quite young going through that Panthers system, I was shocked, totally shocked to think that he would have said anything like that with that kind of a meaning. Mm. He's with Indigenous people all the time out there, all different races out there at Penrith growing up, and doesn't function like that. So I'm glad that they're happy with where they're at, but it did hit Spencer Lenu pretty hard too.
So what about the Roosters? Haven't they got a big fortnight? Because this game against the Dragons is massive.
Huge.
Massive game. Then they've got the Broncos, equally big. Then Spencer's back. So if they can get away with these two, which is viable.
It is viable, yep.
And he charges into the team. They're back on, aren't they?
Well, we didn't put a line through the Roosters two weeks ago.
No way, Jose. The NRL Slam suspended Hetherington for the tunnel blow-up. Billy Eater in the Sydney Morning Herald. Graham Annesley was scathing. He's the NRL's head of football in his assessment of the off-field incident and said Hetherington would have faced a longer stint on the sideline had a fight broken out. I think it's important that the Match Review Committee sends a message very clearly that this is not acceptable in any circumstances, Annesley said, and a one-match suspension should get the message through. But when players are sent to the bin, they have a responsibility to go straight into the dressing room and to remain there until 2 minutes before their time to come back, at which time they can get back out to the sideline and await to go onto the field. There was a case with Cameron Munster. He was able to come back beforehand because of the groin concerns. They reached out to the ground manager and said, look, this is the situation with Cameron Munster. We need to get him on the bike to get going before we put him back on the field. They said, that's fine. So that's how that played out. The termination payout, Michelle, between Manly and Schuster part ways. Michael Chambers through the Sydney Morning Herald. So they will play Manly. They'll pay Josh Schuster around $200,000 a year for the next three seasons as part of a deal that will see the back rower's contract mutually terminated, as early as this week. The Seagulls have been negotiating with Schuster's manager, Mario Tartak, for several weeks and held a meeting with the NRL salary cap team last week as they prepare to officially part ways with the utility player. His deal at the moment, $800,000 per season, but after dialogue with the NRL this week, it's unlikely the Seagulls will have to carry the $600,000 differential in the salary cap. The Seagulls have already paid Schuster $400,000 since the 1st of November, which is the start of the Rugby League financial year, and won't have to pay him any more in 2024.
Well, what I can tell you is Schuster's getting all the right help that he needs. He's in a good space at the moment.
Okay.
Had a conversation with him on Friday. Obviously, he's pretty happy to have this situation sorted out. Devastating for him to no longer be at the club that he loves. But I think the fresh start is what he needs. I don't think we'll see him back in the game immediately. Still got a lot of work to do. But, we've got a lot of good support to his family. His manager, Mario Tartek, has been really supportive. And believe it or not, a lot of the Manly boys, the Jason Saabs, those type, teammates that he's known for a long time, have all rallied behind him. And, wish him all the best.
Tell you what, Michelle, I don't know the story intimately. I know a little bit about it, which is obviously private for him.
Yes, certainly not my story to tell.
No, that's not mine either. So my best guess is he's way back to football, which would be best for him.
He's training hard.
Yeah, to take the pressure off, go for a year or two at Super League. He'd go over there and he'd win the Man of Steel. He'd get his confidence back. It's an easier transition into the game. I think that would be perfect for Josh Schuster, the Super League.
One thing I do want people to know is there seems to be this attitude when it comes to Josh Schuster that he's lazy because he had the issues and was struggling with his weight. Couldn't be for anything further than the truth.
I hear that. I hear that he's not lazy.
Speak to Anthony Seabold and get online now and tell you no, absolutely not. He's not. It's definitely not laziness.
Ashley Klein pushed out of the NRL's referee rotation for round 8, according to the Daily Telegraph. The NRL is adamant Klein hasn't been dropped, just rested. He was involved in several controversies during last Thursday night's match between the Sydney Roosters and Melbourne at Allianz Stadium. His demotion comes after a week after referee Casey Badger was also rotated. He'll be using the bunker, though, this weekend. So there you go. Where's this text? Joel sends it through. Thanks, Joel. He says, hey, Sugar and Bish. David Armstrong, who's filling in for Ponga, is a gun grasshopper. Queenslander, is he?
I don't know a lot about this guy at all. Looking forward to seeing him play. If he's been slotted into there, he must be half decent.
And he said he's from a small town and his Koori knockout side have a golden generation coming through. Okay, maybe there's something to get excited about for the Knights and David Armstrong playing fullback. A few debutants getting rolled out in round 8 of the National Rugby League.